welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
And today we're going to follow up on an episode that we did about 2 years ago. We interviewed a friend of the show named Marnie Lambitz, and we asked her about flexible seating. And at the time, Mike and I were pretty new to it. I don't think either of us had actually implemented it in our classrooms.
Not to that degree, no.
Yeah, and she has some great tips. If you have not listened to that episode and you're just looking to get into flex seating, go back and listen to that. It's really great. Today we want to do a follow-up because I think sometimes we do these podcasts and some of them can be like, that's the end of talking about this. Mm-hmm. This is not one of those things. This is this ever-evolving, it looks different in all of our classes because everybody's different. We all have different management
and I think
styles.
Even and, year to year, it looks different. It's looked different for me year to year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we wanted to talk about some of the positives, some of the pitfalls, some of the things we've done to make it easier. And I also thought we've been thinking about like what could we rename it, because I think that like flexible seating, it has the word seating in it,
right? And it implies that it's all about your chairs.
Yeah,
or
it
where
does
the kids are sitting down at, and
yeah,
we don't think it's that at all.
It was like back in the day, like we were just talking about, like if, when they named climate change, when they talked about it as global warming, it basically set people up to be like, oh, I see snow, it's not global, when they should have called it climate change or extreme climate, whatever.
Right.
I think that the name flexible seating is probably not the best word choice for it.
No, I don't think it encompasses everything that it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's start with you, Marie. You've been doing flexible seating longer than Mike and I have. And I think that you and your management style overall, you just like went gung-ho into it. So tell us about like kind of what your class looks like. And then we can kind of get into what some of the problems you had, some of the things you saw.
Yeah, I think it's like different every year. So, and I think I've like let go of more each year. So this year especially, I mean, my classroom is very free flowing. The kids don't have assigned seats at all. We don't even, they had a home base before where they choose one spot to be for the whole day. I don't even have that anymore. Really, no matter what we're doing, they know what the options are. They might have a different spot for every single part of the day.
Okay.
I think that was my hardest when I started, you know, getting into this. That was the hardest thing that was the hardest thing for me to wrap my head around, with them not having their home base or their home thing, their home seat. And Marie, you go in her room, she doesn't even have enough seats for every kid. So, I mean, they truly have to find their own space for that time or that day. It's really amazing to watch.
Yeah, and I think that the lesson we learned, like as I tried to like model after other people, you have to do what's comfortable for you.
You do.
Or your kids won't get anything out of it, and you won't either.
Well, and
right?
I think it's a spectrum, too. Like, I think you can, you know, and I think you can let go of as much as you want. You can give them control of as much of it as you want. I have a class this year that I wanted to try the very extreme end of it this year, and if it didn't work, I would have backed off and gone back to choosing a home base. But the kids I have this year have made it work and really liked it. But I think the key has been organizing. Like the key is I really thought about how their stuff was going to be organized so it wouldn't just be a mess all the time.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if you have to think back to what it looked like before, right? So when you had everybody with their own name tags and all that, their desks were a mess. It was just hidden away. So yeah, I think that sometimes with like change and innovation, we try to think of like, well, if I change things, it'll make everything work easier or better. And that's not always the case. That it might make certain things harder, but it's going to be the long-term goals of, you know, what you're trying to do with it. So if your point of flex seating is to look like you're innovative, but all you're doing really is, you know, turning a desk on its side so kids can write on it or something like that, it's not necessarily an innovative thing to do.
Right.
So what are some of the things that you've seen that when you just go, you know, free form, like, hey, you guys choose where you want to work with a little bit of structure to it, what are some of the great things that you've seen going that with that approach?
Well, I like how you just said the purpose of it. The purpose of why I wanted to try this was for the kids to really take ownership of the entire room. So I think this year, my room is probably at the end of the day the cleanest it's ever been. Not that that's really a huge deal, but it's kind of like they take ownership of the whole space because not everybody really has. I mean, they all have a basket where they keep all of their things, but the room as a whole, like they have taken ownership of it, and I think they care more about it than I have ever had a group care about it.
Yeah, that's I had never thought about that. I think that that when you really give up that control, The kids aren't cleaning it for you. They're not cleaning it for the custodian. They're cleaning it because they're feeling like it's theirs. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Now, what are some, of course, on the other end of things, what are some of the things where that make you want to, like, pull your hair out?
I mean, you always have the kids who continuously pick a terrible spot for themselves.
Yeah.
Which I think, and that has to just be how you approach it. I mean, I'm the teacher of infinite chances. We'll try again tomorrow. Like, you try it again. So maybe today's the day you're ready. But I mean, I think if you approach it as a learning opportunity, I mean, if the kid continues to make the same choice over and over and over, it's prompted good discussion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, well, we picked this place yesterday. Reflect. How was it yesterday? Okay, you want to try it? Okay. If not, I will move you. But I think if you just come at it as all of it is a learning opportunity, it's your mindset. But
yeah, and I think, too, I remember going to a behavior conference a while back, and the guy was like, why do teachers act surprised or hurt when kids break the rules or mess up? He's like, you know it's going to happen.
Right.
You even know which kids are probably most likely to do it, yet when they do it, you're like, huh? You know, or you get surprised by it. Where that's one of the things, I guess, with flex seating is when you're going into it or you're going into this idea that you're giving up that control, you have to just you have to know those mistakes are going to happen. And not be surprised by them.
Yeah, and I think it's been good for me too, because I think a lot of the times a lot of the years past, I've held a lot of that control, and I think letting go of a lot of things this year has helped me be even more flexible.
All right. So, Mike, what is your room looking like this year with the flex seating?
So, this is a great story. At the very beginning of the year, setting up your classroom, right? You're in there for, I don't know, elementary teachers, 3-4 weeks, maybe a couple weeks before school starts, and you're setting up your room. And I really wanted to try it. I really wanted to do this flex seating. And the part that I couldn't wrap my brain around was them not having their own space for their stuff and to have, like, a seat that they could go to. Like, I always called it their base group tables or whatever. And Miss Lars Marie came in my room, and she's just like, all right.
I blew it up.
My wife and her were both in there, and they were just like, this needs to go, this needs to go, this needs to go, this needs to go.
It's like a TLC show.
It was.
It was like clean sweep. I had so
I had
fun.
Never felt anxious about stuff before like that in my life. I was like, but that filing cabinet. They're like, what's in it? I was like, I'm not sure. It goes. And I'm like, okay. That's awesome. How it was. It was, but at the end, I was like, this is awesome. And I held on to the fact that I have to have a seat for every kid, but they don't have to have the same seat every day. So they come in and they pick their seat on a daily basis. And it's been really interesting to watch the homebodies that all sit at the same spot with the same people every time. Mm-hmm. And then the other kids are just kind of like, hey, I'm going to sit here today and I'm going to sit there today and I'm blah, blah, blah. But what I've noticed is giving them that freedom in that aspect, when we go to do anything else curricular and they're working, they kind of just assume they can have that freedom then too, which I think is awesome. Mm-hmm. Because then they kind of put themselves with somebody that they know they can work with or work by or that will support them or that they can support. And it's really been pretty cool to watch that occur. That was something I didn't expect that was going to happen.
And I think I've also, I mean, ownership is like my word this year, ownership of the space, but also of yourself as a learner. I've done so many, especially at the beginning of the year, little mini lessons on like trying to get them to figure out what they need personally to be successful and to be really reflective of that. Like, do you need to stand when you work? Does that help you? Do you need to lay on the floor? Does that help you? Do you need to be in a space where you're by other people? Do you need to be in a space where you are isolated and on your own? Like, what do you need as a learner? And I think that's really powerful. I think if they can get that in elementary school, that is a skill they can carry with them through life. Like, what do you need to be successful in a working environment?
Yeah, because they don't know. At our age, we assume that they know what's comfortable for themselves, but they don't. They just go back to whatever they did before.
Right.
And when you really have them reflect on it and talk to them about it, I totally see that with my kids too. Mm-hmm. So
I think one thing we should talk about, because this was my biggest issue when I was looking and trying to do this, is the stuff. Where do you put the stuff?
Yeah.
So I think each of us should kind of explain where our kids keep their stuff.
Sure.
So we can start with Marie, because she's probably got the best system because she's been doing it the longest.
You guys make fun of me all the time.
Marie has a big pile in the middle of the floor.
You just call it the community pile. Just take whatever you need out of it. No, they make fun of how much I like to organize things.
It's all color coded, black and white. It's all black and white.
And it's so beautiful, you guys. But I think I knew if my room was a mess, it would make, I work best in an organized environment. So I knew it had to be organized for myself too. So I have these shelves on the wall, and each kid has a basket, and in their basket, they have to keep all, you know, any of their workbooks, their pencil boxes, all their personal belongings have to fit in that basket. But I think that's nice to have that parameter of, like, if it doesn't fit in your basket, it's got to go, or you have to find somewhere else for it. We also have a mailbox where they keep all their, like, you know, their planner and their folder and things like that. But everything fits in the basket. And between activities, I think this was my biggest difference, is how was I going to make it so if it was free-flowing, their stuff wasn't just everywhere all the time. Between activities, they just put their stuff away. They just go put their you know, when they're done with something, they put it in their basket. Like, it doesn't stay out. So that's worked really well this year. Right. So between everything, everything goes back in that basket.
So I do mine a little bit differently, but pretty similar.
It's because you learned from the best.
Because I did, yes. My kids don't have baskets, but with the mailboxes, I'm sure you all know what elementary mailboxes look like. So I was able to scavenge a second set of those. So I've got two sets of mailboxes, and I've got them kind of back to back. And so I pulled, like, every other board out of the middle, mm-hmm. so I can fit book boxes and folders and stuff in there. So they'll share a cubby like that for their book boxes and their folders. And then there's two shelves, and they put what I call their toolboxes, is their work boxes or whatever, with their pencils and crayons and all that stuff in it. And so that's where they keep their stuff. And then math journals, we've got in a separate book box that are on the counter, so the kids go get them when they need to or whatever. But the nice thing is, like we talked about, their mess in their desk. Man, it used to be so disgusting. You'd find, like, rotted apples and papers from Christmas and whatever in there. And I don't have that anymore, that's been awesome. So
yeah, and my system is very similar to Marie's. I just have baskets that I got at the dollar store that has their name on them. And I just have them organized maybe once every 2 weeks. But I can easily see, just from a glance, what's in them.
Right.
Which is nice. And so I think it helps my kids to have it public like that. It helps them really think about how they put their things away. And it's not like a hidden space like that desk was.
Uh-huh.
It has its pluses and its minuses. But I think overall, it works the same. It's just moving things somewhere else.
Yeah.
But that is a major thing. You're going to have to think about where all their stuff is going to go. The other thing is, I think that this would not have worked 10 years ago, because without technology, we would have had to have way more stuff.
Right. I was thinking that as we were recording, is there's so much less paper.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, because so much of it is able to be done on using technology.
Yeah. Yep.
So you don't have to have as much space for that stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things I did, I started with my desk turned around backwards so that the space, because I do have tables, but I have some desks too, so that the kids wouldn't actually use them. But I found that by turning them around and giving them that space during the day, they can put stuff away, but then the expectation is that desk is empty at the end of the day when you put all your stuff back where it belongs.
Okay.
So they don't get messy, which is really nice, because desks, you know, there's not a lot of room, so they can put their snack in there in the morning, and when they get some of their supplies, they can put it in there when they're not using
them. And some of them really like that organization piece, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about the next part of this, which kind of is the furniture piece. And as we were saying at the beginning, furniture does not have to be the focus with this.
Right.
I think that in my classroom, Marie's, we were able, because we had a little bit of a head start on Mike, we have a little more different types of seating or desks, right? So we have, like, Marie's got, like, some round tables and square tables and this and that, and they're the bigger ones. I have, like, a mix of just your regular student desks mixed with some high tables and low tables and this and that. But I think this is one of the biggest things I hear from teachers is, like, I can't do flex seating because I don't have money for that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and I think that is really a tough way to come into it when you think that it's about the seating.
And that goes back to our earlier conversation of flex seating. You feel like the focus is on the seats.
Yes.
But I really think the focus is on the flexibility.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it.
Like the environment. Mm-hmm. A flexible environment or flexible learning.
That's, there you go. FLE, man. Flexible learning environment.
TM.
Trademark. Tech.
I like that better than anyway, because flexible seating just does not describe it. So, like, we have looked at many, you know, these furniture companies will come in and they have cool furniture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's expensive. And they have little innovations, right? They have things where, like, the desk will flip down, you can write on it, or the chair can spin or roll and things like that. But when you think about it, like most technology, the smart board is the best example, right? Mm-hmm. And we've done a whole episode on this where, yeah, it's kind of like a whiteboard. You know, hey, that desk that you can flip down and write on, it's kind of like a desk.
And a whiteboard.
Yeah, and I can tell you this. You can go into a brand new school that's got all the newest furniture. And that does not mean a thing. It's all how the teacher organizes the environment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's in the purpose. Like, what is your purpose for doing this?
Yeah. I would say if you are looking to get started with this, the only things you'd really need to buy, if you had to buy anything, would be maybe the baskets and some shelves for them. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more of it as getting rid of stuff. Mm-hmm. For me, the first step was getting rid of my teacher desk. Once I got rid of my teacher desk, it changed the space from teacher space into student space. This is not for me. This is for my students. So once I kind of reorganized my thought process, that was the first step. So if you think of it more as, like you were saying, one of those, a TV show where people come in and say, hey, when is the last time you used this? Or is this important to you or to your kids? And then just start moving stuff out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then giving your kids some freedom.
And this is my advice for those of you that are really hesitant or nervous about it. Don't even give them the freedom of sitting where they want on a daily basis, but just give them the freedom of sitting where they want during a subject area. Yeah. Maybe it's during reading time or math time or writing time or whatever. Throw out some clipboards and let them lay on the floor and write. That's just giving that choice, that flexibility of learn during that learning time, that'll ease you into it. Because that's kind of how I started. Like, they still had their base group table and all their stuff was in it, but during math, they could sit wherever they wanted. And during Reader's Workshop, they could sit where they wanted to read and do their activities or whatever. And then finally, I got to the point through getting pushed that I could just let them sit wherever they want and I just kind of let go of it.
Yeah,
it's been great.
Right, you have to feel comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. I think, too, at the beginning, you can... I mean, I always do it at the beginning there, where it's not just like a free-for-all at the beginning.
Yeah,
slowly release the control of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I introduce each piece of furniture. I choose their seats for the first couple weeks of school, and I have everybody try everything. And then the kids take a survey at the end, and we have that whole talk of, what was best for you to work. We talk about what good work looks like and feels like. And then, think about yourself in that space. Like, I know you like sitting on the bouncing ball, but, did that help you work? Mm-hmm. And then also, midway through the year, I do a check back in, and we talk about it again and say, what are some things that you want more of in here? Or what are some things... They help me rearrange the room halfway through the year. I've done that the past couple of years, and they really like it.
That's... You know what? That was something I learned with stability balls early on, because I had those going back 6-7 years, is that if you just, at the beginning of the year, have all that stuff out, it's not going to be successful.
Right.
Because these kids need to be eased into it a bit. Mm-hmm. And the year that I was most successful was the year where I was like, I'm going to try flex seating, and I did it in December. Mm-hmm. And it was because it was different, and we eased into it. So that's a great way to think about it, is to ease into it for that first year, see how that worked. How much time did you need to adjust and for your kids to adjust into flex seating? Because it is not a natural thing. I mean, even we were just talking about, Mike and I were talking when we go to lunch. We always sit in the same seats. Everybody's at the teacher's lunch. Yep. We all go in, and it's just a natural thing to do.
And if someone doesn't, we're like, what are you doing?
I mean, there's been times you come in, and a substitute is sitting in your chair. Yeah. And of course, they don't know that. And you're like, that's my chair. But really, it's not. So the kids need to adjust to that as well, because they're not going to just come in and be ready to roll just because you give them that freedom. And be ready for lots of discussions. Mm-hmm. That would be the other thing. Discussions with kids. And when you have to be heavy-handed sometimes with certain kids and just say, you know what? We've tried this. This is not working for you. For now, I'm going to make your choices for you. Mm-hmm. When you can show me you can make your own choices, then you'll do that. But don't take it away from the whole class. Right. I think sometimes as teachers, because of time, we say, obviously we can't do this. This is done. We're not doing it anymore. But instead, it should be more of a, hey, these 3 or 4 kids are having issues with it. I need to meet with them.
Right.
And go from there to evaluate it. So I don't think we ever asked you, Mike, what were the positives, negatives that you've noticed? Like, what are some of the good things that you've noticed from doing the flex seating this year? Well, you already know. You already said one, which was your kids were showing that. What were you saying? They were
well.
More...
They kind of started branching that choice out into all their other aspects of the classroom.
That's right. What was something else you found that
pretty
was
cool?
Yeah.
I think that just they feel like a little bit more empowered, like Marie said. Mm-hmm. I always say, I think I stole this from Paul Solars, by the way. This is not my classroom; it's our classroom, mm-hmm. And so. We talk about the fact that all of this is our classroom, and you all have ownership of it, so we need to make sure we're all taking care of it and making good choices of it, with it. I'll say a couple negatives. was I went down the seating route, and I tried to make sure I had lots of choice in seating. And when you do that, you try to, you're on a budget, right? Well, some of this furniture that I bought for my classroom that people are buying around our school that we see, it's not classroom grade furniture.
No.
And it's not lasting. Yeah, kids can be rough on it and it doesn't last. And so that's the hard part. And that's why I think if you get away from it being about seating and more about the flexibility, you're going to be able to get into it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I agree.
And I bought a 3-person bench, and I hate this bench because the kids fight over it constantly. I want to take it home and put it in a bonfire pit. But I've left it, and we're learning how to use it. But that bench drives me crazy. But I don't know. I just think that relinquishing some of that control has just been really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I've always kind of done that in my subject areas.
Right.
But getting over the hump of doing it with my seating was. It was a big change for me this year.
Yeah, and I would notice, overall, the last couple of years since I've been doing this, I feel like kids are more flexible overall, like when you have them work with different groups of people, or, mm-hmm. They don't feel like I can only work with this person, or I can only be... And the other thing is, we had discussions as a class of kids would come up with a problem. They'd say, well, here's a problem we're having. These two people always sit together.
Right.
Oh, okay, well, let's work through that together. And then the class would come up with a solution to that problem, and then they would have to stick with it.
But I know, same here. We had the same problem of I have these two really cool loungy chairs, and the same two kids would sit in them every day when I would read out loud, and that was a problem. So we brought it to class meeting, and they came up, they brainstormed like 5 or 6 different solutions, and then voted on the one that they thought was best, which was that like we were going to take turns, like the star of the day got to have one of the chairs. And I mean, they figured this all out without me, and I just kind of facilitated this discussion. That's so much better than me being like, you two sit on it today.
And the cool thing is, naturally, that's probably the direction you would have taken it anyway,
right?
Yeah.
But they had that ownership in it now.
Yeah, don't let your kids talk you into this. Well, you need to come up with an alphabetical order sheet and you keep track. And the second they say me, I'm like, oh, no. This is for us, so it's got to work for us, and it needs to be thought up by you and handled by you. So we're not going to do when it's, your birthday week, you sit here and all that. Like, you guys need to figure out a system that will work. Otherwise, this won't work as a whole. Mm-hmm. And when you put it on the kids, it's important enough to them. I mean, they love the opportunity to sit where they want, as do all of us.
Absolutely.
Think about your staff meetings.
Yeah.
Come on. If you had assigned seating, based mm-hmm. upon who you didn't talk to, you'd be like, well.
Oh, don't you love those when it's like, find somebody outside of your circle of friends or outside of your grade level or blah, blah, blah.
That's
forced into it. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, no. Anybody given choices, it's always a positive. So anyway, I think our overall message is following up a couple years later is, number one, it's not about the furniture.
Right.
Number two is it's really about what's our trademark?
Flexible learning environment.
Flexible learning environment.
A flea.
All right, so it's all about the flea.
And I think too, as a teacher, it's okay if you try it and don't like it, or you try it and you back off, or you try it and do something completely different every year. I think each group of kids, it will look different. And I think if you yourself can be flexible and reflective about it, that's how you'll be most successful and not get frustrated.
Yeah, great advice. Mm-hmm. Great advice. All right. Well, if you have any questions or you're trying something and you need to know, hey, where did you find those or where did you get more information, then let us know. And, we have lots of resources.
Maybe we can even post some pictures of our rooms on Twitter or
great
something.
Great idea. Post our pictures.
You can see all my black and white organization.
Our classroom pictures.
Yeah, you'll be able to tell which one is each person's room.
Yeah.
You just look at one of them and be like, whoa, that one, that's pretty messy. That would be my room. My room is usually, it looks like a bedroom, basically. Just like stuff all over the place. Plus, my kids have talked me into this year. They've talked me into letting them just like take off their shoes. And I'm like, yeah, you can take off your shoes. Let's try it. And then we had problems because, of course, their shoes were everywhere. So then we had a meeting. And I knew this was coming, right? So we had a meeting, and my kids were like, I can't, I'm tripping all over people's shoes. What's the solution? And one of my kids is like, well, I have to keep them under my bed at home. Oh, so can we keep them under our tables?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What would happen if people don't do that? Well, they shouldn't be able to take their shoes off. Yay, we solved it. So, yeah, there's things like that we just figure out as they go. But, yeah. For sure, you'll be able to tell, I think, whose rooms are who, just from our personalities. But yeah, we can definitely post some pictures. All right. Well, again, go back, take a listen to that initial Flex Seating episode if you have not. That's a good resource for getting started as well. You can reach us out to us at our Facebook page, which is Teachers Talking Tech, Or you can send us a private message or reach out to us on Twitter at
Teach Some Tech.
We love hearing from you there. You can also check out our YouTube channel, and that's just search for Teachers Talking Tech on YouTube. All right. Well, hopefully you got something out of that episode. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
See ya.